NTSB wants airman knowledge tests updated for the glass panel era. The emergency landing killed a bystander, but it could have been even worse. And a headless TSA may face negotiations with a screeners union. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 31st, 2010. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has released a recommendation to the FAA to revise airman knowledge tests to include questions regarding electronic flight and navigation displays, including normal operations, limitations, and the interpretation of malfunctions and aircraft attitudes. The board said the FAA should require manufacturers of certified PFDs to include information in their approved aircraft manuals and POH supplements regarding abnormal equipment operation or malfunction due to subsystem and input malfunctions, and incorporate the info into training materials and aeronautical knowledge requirements for all pilots. The board wants proficiency requirements for pilots of Part 23 aircraft that address variations in equipment design and operation for the equipment they'll be flying, and incorporation of the training elements into simulator programs. If you're involved in flight training, especially across a fleet that uses a variety of PFDs, you'll want to follow this story as it develops. The NTSB's preliminary report on the March 15th forced landing of a Lancair kit plane on a beach, where it struck and killed a pedestrian, makes the sobering implication that things could have been even worse. The Lancair 4P had the propeller assembly separate from the crankshaft of its Continental engine in flight, covering the windscreen with oil. Robert Gary Jones of Woodstock, Georgia, was apparently listening to his iPod while running on the beach at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, unaware of the plane landing behind him. He was struck and killed. The pilot, 62-year-old Edward Smith of Chesapeake, Virginia, said he didn't see Jones due to the obscured visibility. In its report, the NTSB says it was told by witnesses that there were other pedestrians in the area of the landing as well. Read more detail in the report in the text version of this story, dated March 30th, at aero-news.net. While the withdrawal of a second Obama nominee to head the Transportation Security Administration last week leaves the agency in limbo regarding its long-term leadership, the union that seeks to win collective bargaining for transportation security officers is moving to make sure union negotiators are in place to greet the new boss whenever he arrives. John Gage, president of the American Federation of Government Employees, responded to the withdrawal of retired Army Major General Robert Harding with a statement, quote, "Because of the importance of the TSA administrator to our nation's security, the administration has got to make it a priority to find a nominee who is above reproach and can win a confirmation bid. Our petition seeks to put to rest once and for all which union workers want to represent them before a tough TSA management. Once this question concerning representation is resolved, AFGE will be better positioned to move quickly to the bargaining table once the rights are granted," unquote. The Federal Labor Relations Authority has conceded that the union has demonstrated that 30% of the workers involved want union representation and has given the headless TSA until April 12th to prepare a response. Up next on ANN, SpaceX says the controls for docking the Dragon are up and running. A new HD video recorder for the cockpit is introduced. And Honeywell will build a new weather profiling radar system for NOAA. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 31st. I'm Paul Plack. If this is March 31st, that means tomorrow is April 1st. That's the start of the second quarter, a date that some analysts say we'll look back on as a turning point in the recession. But it's also April Fool's Day. All I'm saying is when you read Prop Wash tomorrow morning, before you excitedly call a Rotax distributor to order that new cesium-based nuclear turbine power plant for your ultralight, look for the fine print in the story. We get in trouble every year for this, but it's too much fun to stop. Space Exploration Technologies, aka SpaceX, says it has successfully activated its new Dragon spacecraft communication hardware aboard the International Space Station. The system, called COTS UHF Communication Unit, for Commercial Orbital Transportation System Ultra High Frequency, will allow ISS crews to control approaching SpaceX Dragon unmanned supply vehicles once that program gets underway. Space Shuttle Atlantis delivered the system hardware to the ISS during mission STS-129 in November of last year. SpaceX has an upcoming test flight of its Falcon 9 heavy lift vehicle planned soon, possibly as soon as April 12th. The purpose of that flight will be to demonstrate a successful orbital insertion of the Dragon spacecraft, a requirement before an attempted docking with the International Space Station on a later flight. The Dragon may not always be limited to shuttling cargo. SpaceX says it was designed from the beginning to be also capable of carrying crews to and from the station. As do-it-yourself video has blossomed as a medium, and technology has brought down the prices for high-resolution video recording, one of the favorite products among extreme sports enthusiasts has been the Contour HD, a tiny 720p high-def camcorder that records to an internal chip and sells for about $250. Ultralight and gyroplane flyers have been using Velcro, wire ties, or duct tape to fasten the Contour to helmets, keels, or struts to capture amazing fisheye views of their flights. One was even attached to an RC helicopter for an aerial tour of aircraft parked at a fly-in. Now, a retailer called the Light Sport Group has packaged a new higher-res 1080p version of the camera to a custom suction cup mount, an external audio adapter that includes an active noise reduction circuit, and an aviation headset jack adapter, and includes an 8GB SD chip in the package as well. It's called the Contour HD 1080p Aviator Edition. The setup debuted in January at Sebring and is now available for purchase. MSRP is about $700, and Light Sport Group suggests the system's use as a value add for flight schools, with a $20 charge for DVDs quickly covering the cost. The wide-angle view and high pixel count even keep the instruments readable on playback. Find out more at lightsportgroup.com. The U.S. National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration has awarded a $49 million contract to Honeywell to upgrade the National Weather Service's radar wind profiler network. Honeywell Technology Solutions President Vince Trim says the system, quote, can predict severe storms earlier and more reliably while being better able to withstand hurricane-force winds year after year, unquote. The old system was deployed in 1992 and has become unsupportable due to its aging hardware. In addition to using newer technology, the new system will move the operating frequency away from 404 MHz, where it can cause interference with the new 406 MHz personal locator beacons and ELTs. But much to the chagrin of ham radio operators, it will now be deployed at 449 MHz, right on top of UHF narrowband FM repeaters used by hams in support of local emergency services. I guess you can't always make everybody happy. Still ahead, a lawsuit against TCM gets moved to its home state of Alabama. Uganda admits aviation violations are getting past its regulators. And two Ohio families make a sad and startling discovery. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 31st. I'm Paul Plack. A federal lawsuit filed against Teledyne Continental Motors has been moved from Kentucky to Mobile, Alabama, where the company is located. There are a number of other companies named in the lawsuit as well. It was filed over 3 years ago. In the case of a Piper Cherokee that went down near an airport in central Kentucky on a flight to Frankfurt, Larry Crouch, the pilot, told the NTSB he noticed smoke coming from the front of the plane and was attempting an emergency landing. Both he and his passenger, Teddy Hudson, suffered severe injuries and were paralyzed. The NTSB probable cause report says the accident was caused by loss of engine power for undetermined reasons. The Mobile Press Register reports that lawyers for Crouch and Hudson say the cause was the failure of a single-shaft dual magneto sold by TCM. The manufacturer says it doesn't comment on pending litigation. Crouch and Hudson are seeking damages for past and future medical expenses, loss of potential earnings, and pain and suffering. No dollar amount has been specified. A well-regulated aviation safety environment is taken for granted many places, but that doesn't necessarily work everywhere. Ugandan authorities have revealed that the navigator aboard a Russian Ilyushin, which went down in Lake Victoria last year, had a forged license, and that the airplane and its engines were beyond their normal service life. The Ugandan site New Vision reports that the Ukrainian national, who was the navigator on the flight, was using the first-class navigator's license issued to another person in 1996. The investigator said it appeared to Ukrainian authorities that some elements of the license, including the photo, had been altered. All 11 people aboard the plane died when it went down on a flight to deliver relief supplies to the African peacekeeping mission in Mogadishu. The report is candid about the effort to regulate the Soviet-era Ilyushin models, and for that matter, all aircraft. Quote, with regards to such aircraft, CAA experiences difficulties ascertaining the authenticity of the submitted documents. Also, CAA encounters difficulties with the interpretation and understanding of the aircraft manuals. Furthermore, there are external forces that influence the CAA approval process. Unquote. There was no distress call from the aircraft prior to the accident. Ground radar was reportedly out of service for maintenance. Probable cause was never isolated because much of the wreckage was not recovered, nor were the flight data or cockpit voice recorders. Finally today, this story is a little macabre, but it sure makes you think about arrangements you may have made in case the worst happens during your flying. Following the crash of an Evector Sportstar Plus in Ohio on March 5th, well, let's just say the circumstances dictated closed casket funerals for the pilot and the passenger. The Associated Press reports they were identified by dental records. One family chose to bury the deceased, while the other family chose cremation. Sadly, when the personal effects of both men were returned to the families later, they didn't look familiar. It was discovered that two sets of remains had accidentally been misidentified and switched. Montgomery County Coroner's Office Director Ken Betts commented, quote, during my tenure at this office, we have processed over 40,000 bodies, and this is the first time that we have misidentified someone's loved one, unquote. That may be a small consolation to the two families, both of which declined comment to the AP. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, find out how women aviators feel about their prospects in the industry from attendees at WAI. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.